Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But I think that's the negative with Jimmy, is that you're going to expect him to be overly aggressive offensively, and he's some timey with that. And I think that part right there could create an issue. But overall, a tremendous pickup for them. He can win, and they're winning right now. And, you know, it's amazing how you all regurgitate and find some way to get back, which is sickening to me.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game, Eddie. Talking to Eddie Johnson, the Suns broadcaster here, former Sixth Man of the Year and Phoenix Sun player. Eddie, follow up on that real quick, because that was a point of contention I had yesterday, right? Like, you talk about Jimmy Butler, and what does everyone go to? Playoff Jimmy, Miami Heat. So I think that's what's in the back of a lot of Warriors fans' minds right now. It's like, hey, we saw this guy in the playoffs carry two teams. I get it. One of them was in the bubble, but still carry two the Miami Heat squads to the NBA Finals. When you look at their talent all around him, maybe not the greatest, and all the household names are there. And so why can't we get that in Golden State? Why can't we get that version in Golden State, that aggressive mindset? And I get it. Stephen Curry's there. Draymond Green's there. There's a lot of different alphas, if you will. So maybe I think just fans need to recalibrate. Is that what you're saying? Their expectations of Jimmy,
yeah,
even come playoff time, you're saying?
I think so. I think, you know, in Miami, like, he had two young players in Bam and Tyler Hero. So he was able to, you know, he was aggressive, right? And he had to be, and he knew it. Now he doesn't overly have to be because he's not the number one. Steph is. And so how does he blend into, like, not stepping on Steph's feet and still be aggressive, right? I don't view Jimmy as a pick-and-choose guy, meaning, like, if Steph is off, okay, he automatically in his head, he says he just goes for it. I think in his mind, he's just going to try to be more aggressive and more smart to maybe get Steph better shots or get Steph more open. Like, that's not what you do. That's what Draymond's job is. That's what Looney's job is. That's what Gary Payton II's job is. Your job is to step you off. I'm going forward until you get back in rhythm. I just don't know if that's him. And I continually argue that on my radio show, SiriusXM NBA Radio, 1-4 Pacific time every day. It's like, you know, that's always been my pet peeve with him, is that he kind of like cruises through the game. And because he knows he's going to stay on the floor, so he doesn't have to be judged by shooting, and then he can just defend, he can pass, and he can do all of that because he still knows he's going to get his minutes. But a player like, say, myself, I was judged on what I was doing. And if I wasn't doing it, I might be on the bench. You get it? And so it's that kind of mentality, and it should drive me crazy with Derek McKee in that regard. Love him like a brother, but he would admit that he wasn't an overly aggressive offensive guy. And that's the guy I continually try to tell people and remind Jimmy Butler, too. Not to say that Derek McKee is in the same stratosphere as Jimmy Butler and what he's achieved, but, you know, but the same kind of ilk. And so that's what I would say with that situation. And he has to be aggressive because you're going to see teams do the step what Houston did to him. And that's why Jimmy has to step up. Clay had no doubt he would do it, right? Jimmy has to be that guy, and we'll see.
Hey, Eddie, good stuff. We appreciate it. The book is called The Sun's Revenge by Eddie Johnson and Gary Ponzo. Can you talk to us a little bit about the book? I'm reading it right now. It's like a basketball murder mystery. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, guys. You know, look, I have a unique deal with me. I don't want to get weird with it or whatever, but, you know, I don't think, guys, I've ever been to sleep and I did not dream. Like, you know, some people say they sometimes don't dream or they don't remember it. Well, I remember all my dreams and since I was 13 years old. And I think I kind of, like, taught myself to do it because when I was very young, I saw the Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech, and it grabbed me as a youngster. And I used to daydream all the time. I daydreamed myself into the NBA, guys. I tell you, I did. I mean, every day I was dreaming about where I could be, who I could be, emulate guys. And I've always been that way, and I think now it's like I dream, man, and I remember stuff. And I actually dreamed this book, man. I truly did. And dreamed it multiple times, which was crazy. It was on my mind. And a few years ago, I decided to write. It would be my second book. My first book was You Big Dummy. You can still get it on Amazon. It's a basketball self-help book. But I just said, you know what, Eddie? You got to put pen to paper with this. And I did. And I started writing, and you got to understand sometimes you're not the smartest guy, and sometimes you got to put smart people around you that's done that, run that road. And I partnered with a good friend of mine, Gary Ponzo, who's an espionage writer who has a number of books out there, and I told him, I said, I need help with this. I said, I need help with formulating this. I said, I got the story. I gave him stacks of info that I've written over the last 2 years, and we just wrote it, man. And it is a murder mystery. It's based on the campus of ASU. And it's a tremendous book, man. We've gotten great response. It's only been out a couple of weeks now. Like they say, you know, basketball, what they tell basketball players sometimes, shut up and dribble. I don't shut up and dribble. I do everything. I'm going to attack everything in this life that I can.
Let's go.
And they told me I couldn't talk. They told me that, and I got a national radio show. I don't buy it, you know, and I think any young person, any person out there should attack everything. And that's what I've done, and it's not going to be my last book. Writing is my passion, and you can go get it on Amazon. You can download it on Kindle. It's called A Son's Revenge, and not S-U-N-S, people. It's S-O-N-S, just because I work for the Suns. I'm not that crazy, right? but it's about a young man named Calvin that's trying to figure out who murdered his mom at his childbirth. And so it's a tremendous book, and I encourage everybody to go out and get it.
Hey, Eddie, good stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Guys, and I won't tell you, I want to make you guys jealous real quick.
Oh.
I'm actually in Bandon Dunes right now.
Oh my God. Must be nice. What do you be shooting out there, huh? What are you doing?
Man, look, I got off the plane yesterday, and I played yesterday, man. I'm pleased. That wind got to me. I didn't get a chance to warm up the guys.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, the excuse is both. Okay, there you go.
They hit me hard, but not. Hey, we got 36 today. I'm playing 36 tomorrow, and I'm playing 36 on Thursday. Yes.
Oh my God.
So surgery
and
next
week. You know you got to walk it all. But man, I'm up right now, man. I got my clothing on. I got my layers on. I'm getting ready to go out there and do some work, man. One of the most fabulous places you ever want to come to if you're a golfer. So, yeah, I'm enjoying myself.
And on Masters Week, Masters Week,
I'm going with my team this year.
I know.
Going through with my team. I gotta go enjoy myself.
No,
I took the day off.
Yeah. Six straight losses will do that to you, Eddie. Yeah, heading into the last of the season. Hit them straight, man. Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Eddie Johnson, who joins us on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And, of course, it was brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. And, by the way, Joe, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Is there anyone cooler, like, is just more confident when he speaks than Eddie Johnson? Guy just oozes confidence. Whatever. At the end there, I was ready to run through a wall.
So he brought up Jimmy Butler cruising through games and picking and choosing his spots isn't necessarily his thing. And I was like, that's stark contrast to the whole playoff Jimmy thing.
Right. That's why I kind of wanted to follow up. I thought that was very interesting because I think a lot of fans, at least I am, and maybe I don't want to speak for you, like, when are we going to see playoff Jimmy? Like, Miami Heat Jimmy? Maybe we never will. Like, is this version of Jimmy Butler that we've seen the last 2 months, is that good enough heading into the playoffs? Like, that's the question I would ask. Like, do you feel like that's a good enough recipe? I understand you've won some big games now. I don't want to get it twisted. You beat the Grizzlies, you beat the Lakers, you beat the Nuggets. Yeah, my ears are perking up there. But that's different. That's a one-game sample size. That's not a series.
But I could make an argument on the other end. The three games I needed him the most, the Nuggets when they were shorthanded, Hawks,
the Heat.
The
revenge, like, that was Jimmy's game.
He did what he said, which is cruise through those games like a guy he knows he has his minutes. The other interesting thing that he brought up, and I think this really speaks to Clay or Kuminga or Jordan Poole, when you come into the game, there are certain players who they're judged by their impact on rebounding and scoring. And if they're not doing those two things, then what are they doing? Right? No, Joe, this is...
No, I'm not shaking. I'm not shaking my head at you. I'm just the notion that, like, we nitpick every single one of those games.
Well, no, but I do think that there's something like Klay Thompson at the end. What did he hang his hat on? Shooting. And when he wasn't shooting well, it was hard for him to contribute in other areas because he's not a great defender anymore. And he isn't a great put the ball
at least laterally
passer.
He wasn't. He couldn't guard the point guards, the twos. Like, he was more of a guarding the fours, if you will.
But like the way it's like Kyle Schwarber. If Kyle Schwarber's not hitting bombs,
what is he doing?
Yeah, exactly.
He's striking.
He's getting on base. Well, yeah. He needs a high on base percentage.
He'll strike out a bunch.
Yeah, and strike out a bunch. Right, so like I see someone like Jordan Poole when he's not scoring and he's turning it over. Well, he's not playing defense
when he's tripping on the floor over himself.
Right,
too. Wasn't a good look.
I love
JP.
I think Kuminga falls into that category. I feel like we scrutinize him over the top. Well, if he's not scoring and he's not rebounding, then what's he doing? It's like, whoa, not everyone is judged that way, and yet we do pick and choose certain players. It was an interesting way that he phrased it. I found that fascinating.
No, and I want to pick up that conversation in regards to Jimmy Butler and his. How he's connecting to the audience so far and connecting to Dub Nation, if you will, because there's a lot baked into it. I mean, Klay Thompson was a made guy. He's forever a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Warriors Hall of Famer. His jersey's going to be retired. We got all that. I'm not comparing him to there. I could compare him maybe to an Andrew Wiggins, but again, an Andrew Wiggins was the second best player on a championship run, but we forgot about him in like less than a week.
Why?
After Jimmy Butler. Exactly.
Because he cruised through a lot of the regular season. It felt like.
Again, and he wasn't a flamboyant kind of a player. He wasn't in your face. He wasn't a rah-rah guy. We've seen high moments of Jimmy Butler, but again, that was in a different uniform. That wasn't here. So I want to talk to the fans at 888-957-9570. Again, same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. We'll pick up that conversation on the other side. Plus, hey, can we dive into this Western Conference frenzy, Joe?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty insane.
I want to do that.
And I want to talk about all the different scenarios, potentially, that could occur at the end of this week. And it culminates on Sunday, this regular season, Warriors-Clippers. But again, this four-game stretch starts tonight, right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors live at 6 o'clock, tip-off at 7. Warriors in the Valley of the Sun taking on the Phoenix Suns at 7 o'clock. And it's going to be brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Night. Coverage of that starts 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game, your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. No Kevin Durant, though. But Eddie said some interesting things in regards to one Jimmy Butler. And we were talking about it yesterday. We had the show call. We had show meeting. But, you know, the connectivity between a fan base and a player. Like, we're talking about the Giants right now, right? And they fell yesterday 2-0 to the Cincinnati Reds. But the energy's been different. We do use the word vibes, Joe. The vibes surrounding a team or a player. Just the vibes feel different with the San Francisco Giants. Whether that's the absence of Farhan Zaidi now, insert Buster Posey, whether that's some of the players that are some of the bigger names making some splash plays, Willie Adames with the walk-off hit, Jung-Hoo Lee making plays, Matt Chapman's been pretty good.
Did Farhan ever connect?
No, not even close.
I know it's different for, like, John Lynch, I feel like, has connected to the fans.
Yeah, well, it helps when you are a Hall of Fame player.
No
I'll say
doubt.
That first and foremost. Like,
no doubt.
I recognize the name.
Did Bob Myers connect?
Yes, I think he
fans?
Did because he was sincere in when he was speaking.
I do too.
I never felt true sincerity from Farhan Zaidi.
But I'll give Larry Bear this. You know, people have opinions about him, but I think the majority of people feel like they can connect to Larry Bear.
Yes, he's very good at connecting with people.
100%.
That is what the mark of a good businessman does.
100%.
And even if you're not that great at connecting through the media, like, there's a lot of coaches like that aren't great with connecting through the media. I think, again, the guy just won the Super Bowl, Nick Sirianni. We laughed at him at his introductory
but
presser.
But he's perfect for Philly.
But he's perfect for Philly. And again, it's interesting because I don't know if a Kyle Shanahan, for example, would work out in Philadelphia. Maybe he'd have to change some of his.
I don't think so.
Right? Like, there's different levels to this. Now,
Steve Kerr's perfect here.
Perfect for San Francisco, right? And there's a lot baked into that, but he's perfect for this region.
You know, it's like, I'm looking at Jimmy Butler, and I'm thinking about, like, different acquisitions that happened almost rapidly.
Right.
And a guy just feels like he was born to wear the uniform of the local team and to be a part of this culture. When Christian McCaffrey got traded midseason, it was like, he's born to be a Niner.
Right. Well, he already had the star factor being in the Bay Area with Stanford.
Yes.
Should have won a Heisman, by the way. Joke.
The McCaffrey name has name recognition here because his dad played for the Niners.
And his dad played for father of Kyle Shanahan.
Exactly.
Like Shanahan.
It felt like it fit. And I'm sure fantasy and being
that
high
helps.
Profile draft pick and all that. Yeah, like that's in there as well. Like, I think of someone like Pablo Sandoval. Why does he really connect to the local fans?
Well, he was such a unique player, right? What was he, like 5'10", but he was like 275 pounds.
The smile.
Pure beef, the smile. The chewing of the bubble gum, making plays. We got the big bubbles out there. Panda, right? Like, there was something about him, but also, I'll say this, he had big plays and big moments,
yes.
And that's what resonates with
he
fans
was lovable.
Ultimately. And the team, again, lovable, team was winning.
Yes.
That's baked into it. You have to be a winner.
Why is Camilla Duvall not seem to be very fan-friendly right now in terms of the reception?
Because he's contributing to losing.
Well, and it feels like he doesn't smile, and I'm not knocking him. You don't have to smile,
no.
But like, there's a... kind of a stoicness,
yes,
that I feel like we're not jumping that next bridge to connect.
Body language, it always goes back to the bat. First team, bad body language. Shout out your boy Brandon Belt. He was one of those guys too. Where, listen, Andrew Wiggins, another one of those
guys. That's a good one. Yeah.
Body language. Like, some guys aren't smiling all the time. Some guys are angry all the time. Some guys just show no emotion. And sometimes no emotion, if you're a fan, means you don't care. But for some people, that's just their way of dealing with it. Like,
what about Jimmy? Do you think people are connected to Jimmy? Talking about Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I don't know.
Because they are winning.
They are winning.
And at a rapid rate, and it feels like they flip things around.
And I think people point to the Jimmy Butler acquisition as the turning point. So they have to be in the back of their minds like, Jimmy's a big part of this. But at the same time, Eddie Johnson, who was just on with us, he's like, yeah, but the fans aren't going to be very happy when Steph has a game like that. And you don't have a true number two.
Mm.
He said something. He said that. He literally said, Eddie Johnson, who I respect tremendously as an analyst and as a former player, and maybe that's too strong for him to say they don't really have a true number two. But at times, doesn't it kind of feel like that? Like that game against Miami, as you mentioned, like where was the number one? Like he needed to be a number one that day, and he wasn't. He needed to be a number one against the Atlanta Hawks. He had a better game there. But he needed to do more, I felt
but if he,
against the Houston Rockets, where Steph had 3 points, like, I needed a little bit more from Jimmy there.
So, for me, like, this is a guy who's been in the league a long time.
Yes.
And all I know about, and I'm pretty tapped in, because we do this for a living, I don't know a lot about him. Mm. Other than he's like dynamite, in the sense that if you're holding it for too long, and it sets fire, explode.
See, I think you do know about Jimmy Butler. I think we all know what Jimmy Butler is, right?
What is it?
That he's a guy that lasts for a couple years and then he moves on. He is not a guy that stays in one location for very long.
Is 5 years a long time? In the NBA, I feel like it is.
Sure, but this is also his fifth team.
Okay, but like 5 years is a long run.
It was. It was a long run, but it had an expiration date on it. Like, we know people in any walk of life, and I'm sure you met people in your own life, that they can't stay in one spot for more than a couple
of
years.
Jim Harbaugh had that moniker for a
while. There you go.
Time.
Like, that's a good one.
So, but like, I don't, for a guy who's been in the league as long as he is, I don't feel like I have a good grasp of who Jimmy Butler is.
He's a quirky guy. Did you watch the Netflix doc? I felt like he's a family man. He loves his family. Uh-huh. He's not going to put sports ahead of his family. That much I do know. We had that article from Anthony Slater, who will join us tomorrow. Sam, thumbs up, Anthony Slater.
Thursday,
our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, a friend of the program each and every week. Anthony Slater is very tapped in. But he had an article, and you know what? Jimmy was like, you know, Steve Kerr, yeah, when we have this day off, I'm not flying back with the team. I'm just going to go to Miami. I'm going to check my family. He's like, I'm just letting you know. I'm not asking. I'm just going to do it. And we know he puts his family first and foremost. So I do know that. And I talked about that when you were a little iffy on him becoming, you know, a Golden State Warrior. We were talking about maybe Kevin Durant could come here. And I was like, well, let's not close the door on Jimmy. He's a family man. But you thought maybe, and you said this, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but you're like, yeah, maybe that was a shtick, though. Maybe there's a little, like, I don't know if that's the real Jimmy Butler.
I don't know enough about him. And, like, when I hear him talk, not that he's calculated, because that's too strong of a word, but I feel like he's a little guarded, and I think that he's really good at picking and choosing how to drop a one-liner and be funny and get some smiles in the room.
Would you say he's... I want to be careful here because we're not nitpicking here.
No,
we're not
asking if people have connected to him.
We're not criticizing Jimmy Butler. We're talking about the experience as a whole because this is when, like, this is playoff basketball right now. We got 4 games to go in the regular season, and then it's play-in / playoff time. Like, there's some question marks here still for me in regards to that second player. We know in the hierarchy of everything it is Jimmy Butler, but I am beginning to question going forward here this style of play, given like multiple series, if it's going to work. And maybe there is going to be a game where he shuts me up, he shuts a lot of the fans up, and he has 30 points, he has 20 plus field goal attempts, and everything's hunky dory. It's like, okay, all right, we get it now. It was playoff Jimmy's a thing, and okay. But when I hear Eddie Johnson say, you know, Warriors fans, be ready to, like, this is the Jimmy Butler experience. There is no switch to be flipped here in a couple weeks' time. I don't know. I'm beginning to question, I guess, where Warriors fans are in regards to their connectivity level with this guy. First, as a player, and just as the person. I don't know a whole lot about the person. You're right. Maybe I don't. I just am going off what I've seen in, you know, the Miami Heat, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Chicago Bulls, there seemed to be a pattern of, you know, maybe some aloof nature but with all of those markets.
I hear you, but I think most fans aren't thinking, you know, oh, 9 years ago he was here, and, you know, 6 years ago he was here.
No, but it's baked into it.
Okay, but do people care that Hunter Pence played for the Houston Astros and the Phillies?
No, but
Hunter, they hated the Phillies at
that
time.
Sure, but Hunter Pence was never, like, in the media going out a general manager or, like, anything like that. It's baked into it. I'm just saying, like Hunter Pence and Jimmy Butler, could not be further from personalities, I feel like.
They're very different. I would say that his personality, if we're going to go that way, like, he's more... He's closer in terms of perception to T.O. Than he is like 100
interesting.
Pence.
That's interesting.
We love T.O. because he was our guy.
Well, you love T.O. too because you won with him too. Like that's baked into it. The guy was a winner and he cared about winning. Yeah. And that is something I don't question with Jimmy Butler. And I think that trumps everything. He cares about winning first and foremost. And that's what, if I'm a fan, I gravitate towards too. And that's what they've been doing while he's been here.
Did people connect to Jordan Poole?
Yes, they did in that championship run for sure. It shifted after the Draymond Green situation. But prior to that, the Poole party was money time. Yeah. Yes, I think we're a little jaded on how everything went down after that. No one connected to Chris Paul.
We tried.
Oh my God!
I think we tried to talk ourselves into it.
Yeah, you tried, it never felt right.
It was
so manufactured. People trying. Oh, forever Warrior Chris Paul. Stop. That guy was a Warriors killer for so long.
Mo Spates.
Mo
Spates connects for some reason.
Yes.
If I just say the name Mo Spates to Warrior fans, there's oh my God. Now I know a championship is a big part of that. Like, and when I think of guys just from back in the day, for whatever reason, connected more than others. If I just say the name Jason Richardson to an older Warrior fan, they're like, oh, love J. Rich. One of my favorites. Like all time.
Right.
And
because there was moments there, not winning moments really, but there was a moment, a dunk contest, right? Or, you know, he was our guy in a situation where we didn't have any other guys. And it was a league dominated by Tim Duncan and Kobe, and he had Jason Kidd, he had Vince Carter, all these big names. But we felt like, man, on some big stages where the lights were bright, because we didn't have a lot of bright lights back in the early Oracle days, he showed up for us, and that's our guy. And people could recognize him, at least. And he's wearing a Warriors uniform. That meant something. Same with the We Believe run, right?
Is there something to the fact that his star is so bright regarding how much it shines, it's really difficult for others to get that same kind of adoration and connectivity to the fans. Now, I know Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Klay's not here, but they had huge connections to the fan base. But when KD was here, there was a difficulty, I felt like, for KD to grasp that Warrior fans were connected to him. And I think that he allowed a small segment online to make it seem like they didn't. When in reality, at the games, I always felt like fans adored KD.
It's interesting, the Kevin Durant angle in all this, because you always go back to that, right? Because it was the homegrown guys that got the first title. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I think we're a little even jaded on that, because Andre Iguodala was a trade piece, right? David Lee, I know he wasn't a huge part of that run, because Draymond Green ended up taking his place, but that was a big part of getting to that point. The David Lee, Andrew Bogut, another trade acquisition.
Very beloved Andrew Bogut.
Yes, he was, absolutely.
Which is crazy to think.
Hell, Zaza Pachulia, guy that's loved, right? Like that, like another
always
player.
Felt connected.
Yes.
Like he wanted to be here.
Yes, Kevin Durant, for whatever reason, and maybe that's a small contingent on social that's louder than we like to think it is.
I think it's disproportionate to reality.
Okay. But that being said, there was still some hard feelings at the end there when it came to him eventually departing, the sign and trade to Brooklyn, all of that. I don't think the Jimmy Butler angle or acquisition is to the Kevin Durant level, because Kevin Durant won a couple titles. So he's always going to be a legend no matter what. I'm curious here, these next four games and leading into the playoffs, if that connectivity is truly going to start, we're going to start feeling it more. I don't feel it right now. And am I fair to say that at 888-957-9570, I would love to hear from Dub Nation on their thoughts on Jimmy Butler, the Warrior, right now. Because we kept waiting for, hey, this is the Jimmy Butler game. This is where he's going to get it done. Against the Lakers.
But he has had moments.
Has he had, like, a game where he's taken over, though? Not really.
No.
And I think a lot of us are waiting for that still. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think for Warrior fans, it always comes down to the playoffs. A whole season can be wiped away because of some playoff moments, one way or the other. Right? Like Bielitsa. You say the name Bielitsa. All people remember is, he had that one moment in the playoffs.
Right, and game one against the regular season against the Lakers, he had like five threes or
but
something.
But other than that, he was god awful.
He was horrible. Right?
I mean, I had a whole song, Bia Bia, and we couldn't play it for months. But like that's what people remember. Otto Porter Jr. went months of really poor play. And then, you know, kind of figured it out in the playoffs and was useful. And now he's a Warrior, you know, legend, you know what I mean? In the sense of he won a championship and he'll always be beloved.
Right.
So I find it funny, like Butler's getting all the winning. They're doing all the winning. They went from a team one game under 500 to, hey, they have an opportunity to be the 4-5-6 seed.
Are you at all, maybe not caught off guard, not the right phrase, but the way he speaks to the media, I thought he'd be more like vocal. Like, and I get it. Throughout his career, he's been a little more like when it comes to the media, he's very calculated in what he has to say. And he's been like, a lot of his post game stuff has been pretty good. Like what he had to say in regards to Steph Curry, he's like, man, I didn't know he got hacked this much, not get calls. Like he's been having some good cuts. And I think him and his relationship with Buddy Hield, there's been some fun back and forth there. He is quirky. And I think that does work in this market. Quirkiness doesn't work everywhere. But I do think here, we've seen with the Giants, the Niners, George Kittle, I think is a little quirky kind of a guy. Works with San Francisco 49ers.
They're very different.
Very different, right? But Jimmy Butler, like he has, maybe we'll see it more because every single year at the start of the the start of the regular season, you know, there's emo Jimmy. There's dreadlock Jimmy. He has all these different pictures that he does to show his personality in ways that are different than the norm, right? So maybe because we haven't seen a full season or off season of Jimmy Butler, we'll get that picture. But I just, for these last couple months, for me anyways, it's been a little, I don't know what to make of him just yet. Now, to your point,
I think a lot of people are, they're excited that he's here, but I do think that they're guarding from really, loving him until the playoffs. Think about Andrew Wiggins. If I say Wiggins now, like, oh, wow, what a great Warrior. If I said it to you in April of 2022, before they won the championship, I think a lot of people would be like, I mean, is the real Wiggins going to stand up?
Well, hell,
right?
I just say this.
Right?
I just say,
and that was an all-star year for him.
This time last year, we were talking about trading this guy and attaching a first-round draft pick.
We were stapling everything.
We were stapling everything to get him out of here. We were talking about first-team bad body language. That was first-team bad body language. Like, oh my god, his body language is so bad, it's affecting everyone else on the court. We were talking about Klay Thompson. It was just all bad. The vibes we're talking about that are great with the Golden State Warriors are at an all-time low this time last year.
What if I told you, I really like Jimmy, and I want to love him, but I'm kind of in a wait-and-see phase right now. We're kind of just dating.
See, I think that's okay because we're going to find out a lot about this team come playoff time. And I know this, in Dub Nation, Stephen Curry, he could do no wrong. Absolutely. The guy's a made man. He's four titles, the greatest player in the history of the franchise. Greatest player, I think, in the history of Bay Area sports. The most beloved athlete, maybe, of all time. Universally liked. His Q rating is high. I'll say this. I do think Jimmy Butler got a bit of a pass yesterday, coming off a three-point game from Stephen Curry, and Jimmy didn't step up really at all offensively in that game. In a game where you lost by 10 points overall and you wake up and you're the sixth seed in the West, I do think we kind of were a bit easy on Jimmy Butler. And I do not think that's going to be...
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I don't know why we were that easy on him yesterday. I was listening to Willard and Dibbs. I was listening to Grandy and Steiny in the Crosstalk yesterday. And I'll give I'll say this for Mark and for Dan. They were a little critical of his game offensively. Like, was that good enough? And I don't think so.
I was saying that yesterday.
We were all saying it. Yeah. But I will say this. I think we were also kind of hesitant to crush the performance because of those three wins prior.
Don't we also view the body of work? So the minute he got here, they've been so much better than any of us anticipated. I'm willing to live with a couple of poor performances.
Sure, but also having said that, that was maybe the poorest performance I've seen from Steph, and I needed a more aggressive mindset.
Given the circumstances,
you needed to win that game. I get it. You sound greedy when you just beat the Grizzlies, you beat the Lakers, beat the Nuggets. No, you needed that game because all of a sudden you're the sixth spot, And we're going to get into, trust me, if you're joining us right now, 7:30, Spadoni and Chasky, it's the Morning Roast, the tiebreaker scenarios, last four games of the regular season, the 4-8 seeds in the West all have 32 losses. What does it mean? Trust me, we're going to be breaking it down in the 8 o'clock hour, all the different tiebreaker scenarios. Trust me, we will be breaking it down. For right now, we're talking about connectivity. What gets a player to connect to a fan base? And has Jimmy Butler resonated for you as a Golden State Warrior? 888-957-9570. Eddie Johnson joined us last segment, SiriusXM NBA Radio. This is what he had to say about Jimmy Butler and whether Warriors fans should recalibrate their expectations of him going forward.
In Miami, like, he had two young players in Bam and Tyler Hero, so he was able to, you know, he was aggressive, right? And he had to be, and he knew it. Now he doesn't overly have to be because he's not the number one. Steph is. And so how does he blend into, like, not stepping on Steph's feet and still be aggressive? I don't view Jimmy as a pick-and-choose guy, meaning, like, if Steph is off, okay, he automatically in his head, he says he just goes for it. I think in his mind, he's just going to try to be more aggressive and more smart to maybe get Steph better shots or get Steph more open. That's not what you do. That's what Draymond's job is. That's what Looney's job is. That's what Gary Payton II's job is. Your job is to Steph you off. I'm going for it until you get back in rhythm. I just don't know if that's him.
You know, so we're talking offense because there's other things that he's bringing to the table in terms of leadership. Like, I've seen him tutoring some of the younger players.
Right.
I've seen him clearly have a positive effect on Draymond Green. I've seen him pass the ball and help others succeed in terms of offensive production. Defensively, I feel like he's been a great team defender.
Yeah.
He's just not scoring the way that I thought he would score.
Well, he gets to the line. He puts pressure on the defense there inside the paint. But I haven't seen that, like, and again, do I want him to be a jump shooter all the time? I'm not asking that. Like, if the team is winning and he's a part of that as a ball distributor and he picks and chooses his spots, that's great. I understand all that. But again, I go back to Sunday. I go back to Miami.
Yeah.
I needed more of, you know what? Everyone get out of my way. I'm going to get my ISO ball is okay sometimes if you need some, like, put it in the stars' hands and get out of the way. I saw a lot of that in Miami.
So you thought he was more of an ISO scorer?
In the, like, a little bit. Like, in Miami, like, was he not with the Miami Heat?
No, that's, in my mind, I thought he would be able to, like, hey, give me the ball. Let's everyone spread out.
Yeah.
And let me break this guy off the
dribble.
That's
what I thought we were going to get at times, right? And I get it. ISO ball is not, like, this isn't a Kobe Bryant offense with ISO ball. This isn't, this isn't Carmelo Anthony. Like, Warriors fans aren't used to that style of ball.
Everyone just clear out. I got this.
Right. But at times, with Kevin Durant, did we not see that? And again, I'm not comparing Kevin Durant, the jump shooter, to Jimmy Butler, the jump shooter. That's not fair. We're talking about one of the greatest scorers in the history of the game when it comes to Kevin Durant. But I saw Jimmy Butler in Miami. It feels like turning to one of the greatest scorers of all time in a couple of those playoff series runs, right? So part of me has that image of my in my mind still, and Eddie Johnson's telling me to get that out of your head. Like, this is the Jimmy Butler we're going to see going forward, and I question if that's going to be good enough for the fan base. Like, if this is a second-round team, and maybe they fall short and they lose, and it's like, man, okay, like, we didn't have that, like, peak Jimmy game. Like, is he going to be the problem? Like, again, I'm not trying to sound negative. I'm just trying to grasp where the fan base is with this guy, because I think some of these performances, if Steph has a stinker, we're going to be looking to Jimmy in some of these
what,
going
what
forward.
What if I, like, because we started this conversation talking about, like, do you connect with Jimmy?
Yeah.
Right? What are the criteria for you to connect with a player?
First and foremost, I think you have to be a winning player. You got to contribute to winning. So he's got that in the back.
You have to win. All right,
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't have to
be a title, though, right?
Doesn't have to be a title, but you got to contribute to wins.
Because, like, I look at Don Mattingly for the Yankees, and I'm going outside the market. Yeah. They never won anything with him.
Yes.
And yet, it felt like he was a Yankee.
Baseball, again, baseball might be a little different because Trout has not won anything.
That's a good point.
And with the Angels, but he's, I'd say he's a winning player, but it's not his fault the franchise stinks.
Yeah.
The guy's one of the greatest of all time. Baseball, a little different, but I hear you there.
Okay.
The Yankees
so winning,
are synonymous
with
winning.
I think winning, Hunter Pence, all of the rah-rah stuff is great. I love Hunter, by the way, but I don't think it hits the same if they don't win a title that year.
No, I don't think
the
so either.
The sunflower seed spitting and all that stuff.
He hits the ball three different times on one swing.
So
right.
Winning. What about, is there anything else? Personality?
I think personality matters. I look at a guy like, again, we mentioned George Kittle. We talk about a guy like Hunter Pence, Sergio Romo. I think of all those Giants teams, first and foremost, of players that aren't Hall of Famers. Guys that are just like, who is that guy outside of San Francisco? But San Francisco guys, or gals, if you will, they'll recognize them immediately, whether it's the sound of their voice, or they're like, oh, Ryan Terrio, right? Who? Everyone else?
Scudero.
Michael Scudero.
How many teams did that guy play on?
Right? He played on a couple. I remember as an
Rockies,
A for a hot second.
A's,
yeah.
And then,
yeah,
like, Giants. He's like, he's a giant.
He's
like,
a giant, right?
I don't even know if he would identify that way.
No, I think he stayed. I think his longest tenure was with Oakland. Yeah, exactly. But I don't think people would recognize him as an Oakland A.
So, personality winning. Is there any other criteria?
Personality.
Do you have to have a moment?
Winning moment. You mentioned Jason Richardson, right?
Yeah.
Dunk contest.
Yeah, but he didn't win at all.
No, but
he actually had a broken wrist when they went on the We Believe, and he came back, and he was coming back.
And more
from
moments,
health.
Maybe with the Phoenix Suns, right? Like, yeah, you think about that, like that moment, or moments against like the Los Angeles Lakers, yeah, in a first round series as a Phoenix Sun. But again, I mentioned the bright lights, and he was representing Oakland. He was representing the Bay Area and the Golden State Warriors.
So what
and
about
he had a moment.
Backstory?
Backstories help,
because like I think of like Patrick Willis,
yeah,
and like his backstory of how he came up.
Yeah.
It endeared him to Niner fans.
And I think
Frank Gore's backstory endeared him to Niner fans.
And both those guys being on losing teams for so long, but sticking with them, right?
That's a good
in
one.
In an era of, hey, I'm Randy Moss. The Raiders stink. I'm going to force my way out of here. I'm going to go to the Patriots, right?
Yeah. It's like, no. Backstory / career arc?
Yes. I think that matters to a lot of people. And again, that's why I think Timmy, Matt Cain, guys like that, I think for a certain generation, because they were synonymous with losing early on. Like, and Timmy was a freak. He was the freak.
Yeah.
That was his nickname. And he won Cy Young's. But the fact that they were on some losers early on, and then all of a sudden everything changed in 2010, then they were synonymous with winning. It's like, hey, they were there for the down years, and those are our guys. Yeah. We're going to ride or die. Now, towards the end of that regime, it ended up being kind of a bad thing because you hung on for those guys for too long. And I get it. I'd rather hang on for those guys in baseball maybe a year or two. And Bumgarner, same thing, right? You hung on to Bumgarner maybe a little bit too long,
but
that's okay. But you hung on to those guys because of what they meant for so long, and not only the winning years, but the losing years early on.
Is when I say like the criteria for connecting with someone, it's clearly someone you'd buy a jersey of, right?
Yes.
So like, I think it's the same kind of conversation. What about relatability? Does that matter? Because there's a lot of guys that people love
I don't think
are relatable at all.
I think that's why people like Brock Purdy, the quarterback of the 49ers. He's
like
relatable.
Like Lincecum. Lincecum's one of the most beloved connected players of all time anywhere, and I think there's a relatability to him. Size, feels like he would have been smoking weed in your mom's basement during high school with you, right?
Well,
doesn't it?
The amount of people that I knew that had Let Timmy Smoke banner shirts that you would walk just getting on the bridge heading into Oracle, then AT&T Park, thank you. That is a big part of it.
So
because Timmy, the look matters too. Like, that's why I think Jimmy Butler can fit here, because, like, emo Jimmy is a perfect thing for San Francisco, right? Like, it's just so different, and he's so out there at times. The coffee aspect, do we not love our coffee here in the Bay? Do we not think there's a level of snobbery when it comes to our coffee?
Oh,
it's absolutely out there. You got a little coffee snob to you, too, by the way, Joe Shasky.
Well,
a little bit.
There's a certain brand that's watered down that just, it makes me yawn in the 9 o'clock hour.
Do they have a mermaid as their logo? Is that what you're referring to?
I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
I wrote down.
Shout out Starbucks.
Sam, we've got a bunch of names here that we put into a hat. And I'd love to have the audience call in. And
we have a hat?
Yeah, we have a hat here. We put a bunch of names of current and former players in the big three sports and like locally and whether or not you connect to them and why. All right?
Okay.
And 888-957-9570. I would love for you guys to line them up, call in. I'll pull a name from the hat and I'll ask you, just random fan, do you connect to these people? Yes or no? So I'll start around the room. So everyone get ready to go. I'm going to pull a name out of the hat. I'm rummaging.
All right.
Spadoni. First name I pulled out of the hat. Sean Livingston.
Ooh, S-Dot.
Does the Bay connect to Sean Livingston?
Yes. You know why? Synonymous with winning.
What about personality?
Didn't have a personality. I don't know if you literally.
I thought he was pretty lovable.
He was pretty stoic, though. Like,
okay,
like you say personality, I don't think Sean Livingston.
Okay, but
what about his backstory
of blowing his knee out?
Again, you're talking about backstory. That's a cool career arc.
Yes.
That matters. This is a guy that was lost somewhere else. We brought him here. revitalized his career. I think the Bay Area loves an underdog in sports in general.
I agree.
But the Bay Area in particular loves an underdog, and he was one of them.
So I have winning, personality, backstory, relatability. And I think the fifth that we neglected to add in terms of criteria, you have to be authentic. I don't think that we like fake people. I think the Bay is, if we think that you're kind of fake or corny or whatever, we almost initially dismiss you. I think George Kittle, for a segment of fans, are like, is this really who he is? Nah, it is who he is.
No, this past year, the leadership that was on display from George Kittle really sold me as a player. Not to say he wasn't a leader in that locker room, but the way that he took over the Devondre Campbell situation, I was sold on him as, this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer as a player and also a leader.
All right. So I'm going to go way back in yesteryear. Joe, one more. Latrell Sprewell. One of my favorite players of all time.
He is synonymous with a very negative perception, but at the same time, it's not like PJ Carlissimo was an exactly lovable head coach. There's a lot baked in there when you say Latrell Sprewell. Right? All-timer, beloved athlete, beloved character.
I think he's extremely controversial.
That's exactly how I'd say it. But, again...
If you're in your 40s like me, he was your favorite player after Mully.
That's kind of...
Because Hardaway got traded away. And
it's kind of insane. Kind of insane, though,
but
right?
Like, Sprewell was like... You don't understand. Spree for three was a thing. Spree for three! Like, dude, he was so sick.
I'll say... Tentatively, yes.
I don't think he connected like that. I think he's a niche love. Like, you've got to be a
certain
particular type.
But again, it goes back to... There's a generational question that's baked into all this, too, that we'll get to at another point.
All right, let me go to you, Carter. I pulled two names out of the hat. I'm going to start current, and then we'll go former. Current, do you connect? Do you think the Bay connects with Brock Purdy?
Yeah, for sure.
Why?
I think that his backstory of being the last pick in the draft and just where he's gotten in his career as far as getting to the Super Bowl, getting to the NFC Championship, that feeling that we would have won the NFC Championship had he have not gotten hurt.
What about the relatability? Doesn't it feel like he's just a good dude and like he could be part of your family?
He's probably the most relatable guy of any athlete I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I also think that there's a piece of this we're missing, too, which is reliability.
Ooh,
Are you available?
I love this. And 888-957-9. If you want to play this game with us, we'll take your calls. I'll pull two names out of the hat, and I'll ask you just randomly, all right? Here's the other one.
Going back to Sean Livingston, I think his reliability is what really was reliable.
I like that. I love that. Colin Kaepernick. Did the Bay connect to Colin Kaepernick? There was a time where every kid that I coached, when they'd get on base or they hit a three, would kiss the bicep.
He absolutely connected with the fan base. I think what took place at the end there, I think we're having revisionist history a little bit. It got political, and people had a problem with that. But as a player, absolutely he connected. In the Bay Area in particular, he connected. Yes, absolutely. It was on McDonald's commercials with Russell Wilson talking about Mighty Wings.
Carter, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say he was our hope of beating the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And because of that, you had to relate to him, and you had to like him because you thought we can win the NFC West because of him.
You remember, not to cut you off, Carter, it's a great point. Remember when he was throwing the first pitch at the Giants game to Sergio Romo? He was throwing heat, high 80s. Like, I was like, oh, my God, and everyone was cheering for him. I don't know if that was during a playoff run or not during a regular season game, but, yeah, Kaepernick definitely resonated for the fan base.
All right, callers, if you want to get in, play the game.
Let's go right here. We got one. Let's go. G-Man in Oakland. G-Man.
Right, G-Man, are you ready? Step right up. You ready to play the game?
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on, Joe Squared? Nice to hear from you guys.
What's up, man? All right, I'm going to pull a name out of the hat, and you tell me if you connected with this individual or not. All right. Jeff Kent.
For sure. No. I'm not a Giants fan, though.
Okay. That's okay. I'm going to pull
him up. I'm an A's Niners. Like me and Banjo Man are A's Niners, and he's the... head of the A's Niners fan club, so not really with Jeff Kent, but I will say I think you guys are missing one thing, and that's honestly what type of person they are when you meet them in person. So Sean Livingston, I met Sean Livingston at the liquor store, and he was just buying some Hennessy, and we chopped it up for a minute. So you know what I mean? And some of these guys are like down to earth, like a Marshawn Lynch. Like that's what also makes them easy to connect with. And also how they connect with other players that are already on the team that you may have had some experience with. It's like, I know this guy, and if this guy thinks he's cool, then he's cool too. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's an
authenticity. I also have my 49er tattoo on my bicep because of Colin Kaepernick.
Wow. Are you serious? Hey, one more then. Steve Young.
Yes, sir.
I think Steve Young hits all the notes you're talking about. Everybody who listens to Steve is like, that's a good dude. Like, he's authentic. I like him. What do you think Steve Young connected?
Absolutely. I mean, we kind of got that feeling when he was playing, right?
Yeah.
Even in the press conferences and stuff like that back in the 80s, where a lot of people weren't talking that much, you know, 80s, early 90s, people weren't talking or bringing very much personality to the press conferences. And Steve was, you know, we were all concerned about him at the end with the concussions, remember?
Yeah.
And he did the best thing that you could, and that's win. He sat on the bench, he played his part. He explained what kind of player he was and why he goes so hard on the field and off the field. And, yeah, he put it all out there. So, yeah, you got to love Steve Young.
Hey, great call.
That's an interesting one with Steve Young because
I love Steve Young.
To winning that Super Bowl, though,
he was one of the most controversial players of all time.
I don't know if he was appreciated.
Appreciated. I sat in the living room and argued with my dad and my grandpa that Steve Young should have stayed in the game in the NFC Championship game in 1992 against the Dallas Cowboys. Yep. My dad is of the belief at halftime I would have went to Joe Montana, who was sitting on the sidelines, who literally only played one half of football that entire year.
Yeah.
And Steve was the reigning MVP of the league.
That was like reminiscent of that 2012 Super Bowl at halftime for CBS when the Niners were down so big. And Dan Marino said, I think you go back to Alex Smith here. You remember that? Insane. 888-957-9570. Right. Shout out G-Man in Oakland.
Let me pull out one for Sam Lubman. Sam, are you ready?
I am very ready.
All right, we're going to pull one out.
Sam.
All right, let's see. That's a blank one. All right. Otto Porter Jr. Did he connect with the fans?
I don't know. I think not in the way I think a lot of these other guys have. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about his backstory or his personality. I mean, he seemed like there's an authenticity about him, but the big thing with him is, again, he came up big in that final series against the Celtics, so I think in a sense, you're always going to feel like a connection in that sense, but as far as, like, truly connecting deeply with the fans, like, I'll always respect Otto Porter Jr., but I don't know if I'll put him in that we fully connected with him category.
All right, I pulled out another name, Tim Lincecum.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as we said already, I mean, he embodied San Francisco. He was, you know, he looked like us, he acted like us, and as we all know, he enjoyed recreational activities a lot like us. And when you win on top of that and do it with a fun personality like he had, you know, with the F Yaz and stuff like that, it's just, it feels like he's one of us. So, yeah, he absolutely connected with this entire region.
He's one of those. He hit winning. He had personality. He had backstory. He had relatability, authenticity, reliability, and the person that he was. It felt like we were rooting for a good person.
Like, even A's fans, I felt like, felt a connection with Lincecum. And when you're able to kind of bridge across fan bases like that, like, yeah, I think that speaks a lot.
It's a great call. 888-957-9570. How do you connect with a player? Like, what is your criteria? We're doing all our criteria right now, but for you in particular, like Jimmy Butler, we're just talking about it. We're just having the conversation because it feels like we're 2 months into it, and I wanted to gauge the temperature on how we're feeling about Jimmy because this time next week, it's going to be all playoff or, heaven forbid, play-in mode, and I think the true feelings are going to come out in regards to Jimmy Butler from the fan base because if you're one, don't get it twisted. If you're one and done in the playoffs or in the play-in and Jimmy doesn't have a Jimmy game, I know where the blame's going to be landing on. And it's not going to be Stephen Curry. It's not. I'm just going to say that right now.
Jonathan Kuminga?
Well, it might be. It might be JK.
Let me just say, everyone not named Steph would be under fire.
Absolutely. The head coach, the ownership, Dunleavy, I knew it. Everyone.
He never got the rim running big.
I want to pick this up on the other side. Plus, again, we are going to dive into these Western Conference matchups, Joe, because it's absolutely crazy what is happening here. And Sam Lubman is also going to explain at one point why we should be rooting for a certain team down in La La Land. I'm shocked that he's going to try to do the spin on maybe a purple and gold squad and we should be rooting for them.
I don't want to hear
about that, but he's going to try to shoehorn that in a la Macklin Celebrini. But first, the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
If you were excited to see Kevin Durant on the court versus the Warriors tonight, I have some bad news for you. The Suns announced that KD will not play tonight against the Warriors due to a left ankle sprain that has caused him to miss the last three games. Durant sprained his ankle last week when he stepped on the foot of Houston forward Jabari Smith Jr. And as for the Warriors, they are expecting everyone to be available tonight. Again, coverage of that starts at 6 o'clock right here on Warriors Live. And tip-off at 7 with the voice of the Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Let's come up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts, 888-957-9570. How do you connect to a player, and how does a fan base connect to a player? Plus, we'll dive deep into the Western Conference as it is a mess, and we'll try to get it all figured out. Who are we rooting for? Who are we not rooting for? We're halfway home here on a Tuesday. It's Spadoni and Chasky in the morning. We're also 95.7 The Game.